As Michael indicated, I'm going to take a somewhat broader view. I won't talk specifically about any of the commodities, if you will, that FDA regulates, but rather how the FDA goes about implementing the statute. I'm going to take just a couple minutes to go through the history of how it has changed since 1906 so that everyone will understand where they are today and why they are there. There are three eras of FDA regulation. The first one was from 1906 to 1970, and FDA was a classic law enforcement agency. I remember this crazy statistic: between 1906 and 1938, FDA only issued 4 regulations in 32 years. So they didn't bother with that. They had statutory authority to seize products, to bring criminal prosecution. You can't believe how much this tiny little agency did at that period of time. They used to bring 2,000 court cases a year, which you can imagine without modern word processing how that was done, with 8 carbon copies in the typewriter and the fear of making one mistake that you'd have to do the page all over again. It was extraordinary. Now, this is how they made policy. They would take a provision of the statute, find someone who they thought was in violation, and bring either civil or criminal action against them. And it was an unbelievably effective process. But they did no policy rulemaking. From 1970 to 1990, FDA transformed itself into a modern administrative law agency. And for 20 years, they did virtually nothing but rulemaking. What they did, for example, was to sit down and list every single action that the agency took. Remember, FDA regulates 25% of the American economy. And list them all down. They listed all the documents they received. And they wrote a regulation describing every administrative action that they took and how the FOI applied to every document that they received. That was just one of their major rulemakings. But they really transformed themselves, and it was, I think, an extremely practical and very effective way of going about it. In addition, they gave up litigation. They basically ignored the statutory penalties of criminal and civil enforcement and went to complete administrative non-statutory ways of enforcing the law. Voluntary, and I put that in quotes, recalls, warning letters and regulatory letters, all kinds of informal things that are nowhere to be found in the statute. Then in 1990, they had to transform themselves again. Now, what was the cause of that? The cause of that was that Congress and every president from Jimmy Carter on had screwed up the regulatory process to a fare-thee-well. You basically couldn't write those kinds of regulations that FDA had written during the 70s and 80s and comply with all of the analyses from environmental impact to cost-benefit, et cetera. So FDA said, okay, we'll just stop writing regulations. Now, occasionally they had no choice. Occasionally they couldn't persuade Congress to write a law without saying that they had to write a regulation. But I agree with Michael. The last two big ones were the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act of 1990 and the subsequent Food Safety HACCP regulations that the agency wrote. And those were serious aberrations. Well, then what did the agency do to fill the void? They went back to their own procedural regulations. There was one provision in those regulations that said that the agency could issue informal guidelines. And the concept was as follows, that there were things that agency did, for example, requiring a rat reproduction study or requiring a certain type of clinical study if you're trying to get an antibiotic approved. And those were scientific documents, if you will. The agency didn't want to write them into regulations because the idea of how to do that kind of testing might change over time. So FDA invented these guidelines. But starting in 1990, FDA said, well, to hell with rulemaking, we're going to do everything by guidelines. They were renamed guidance. But to give you some idea of how they took over, today, and I actually, the last time that FDA published just a list of them took up 45 pages in the Federal Register. There are at least, I counted them, this was 2006, there were 2,100 guidance now that the agency has issued. By now, Michael, it's at least 2,500, if not coming close to 3,000. So they avoided 3,000 rulemakings. You know, how did FDA deal with cost-benefit analysis? They just ignored it. How'd they deal with small business impact statements? They've never had one for one of these. How'd they deal with I won't bother to go through the litany. You know, it's just a hell of a lot easier.
We're so jealous.
Now, the other thing that they did, of course, was to avoid OMB completely. Now, the agency isn't entirely stupid. About once a year, they do send a regulation to OMB because they're afraid that OMB will catch on to what's going on. And they want to keep OMB feeling loved and well cared for. The last one they just got through took 10 years to write and promulgate and get through OMB, and that was good manufacturing practices for the dietary supplement industry. GMP for drugs and food have not been amended since the 1970s because who in God's name in their right mind would want to send one of those off to OMB? Now, what does this mean in a larger sense? First of all, there's virtually no court enforcement today. Virtually none. It's much more efficient to do it through the administrative process of just writing letters and say, either comply with the law or we'll put you in jail. That usually gets people's attention. There are very, very few regulations. Occasionally, Congress does require some. But it means that FDA's needs are quite different than probably a lot of other agencies. I don't care what OIRA does. It's utterly irrelevant to FDA. I don't care if the president issues 10 executive orders. They won't impact on FDA because FDA is doing all its work beneath the radar. Now, what does FDA need? First, it needed resources. I couldn't agree more with Michael on that. But let me give you the good news on that. As a result of the FDA Science Board report, and that, incidentally, if anybody wants to see it, is now in the Administrative Law Review, so you can find it there. If you go back 2.5 years, FDA's budget was $1.5 billion. This was only for appropriations. The president's budget this year for appropriations will give them $2.3 billion. Now, that is a $900 million, it comes out to, increase in 3 years. That's massive. That's more than a 50% increase And it will take a while for FDA to absorb all that because you have to train people and you've got to put processes in place. But that's on its way to a solution. And it's been bipartisan. That was one of the things on the science board we insisted on when we appeared before Congress to testify on this. It had to be bipartisan, and indeed it has been. The second thing FDA needs is creative leadership. Probably needs that more than anything else. And thank God we have a creative and dynamic duo coming to FDA. The Deputy Commissioner, Joshua Sharfstein, has already been on board. Peggy Hamburg has been confirmed and will show up on Monday morning. There's one more missing. They need a creative chief counsel who is not going to feel confined by the statute and is going to just do what is needed and do it immediately and worry about justifying it later. I'll tell you, FDA doesn't lose a lot of health and safety cases in the courts. I remember when I was at FDA, on the rare occasion where I had to go to court, I would just stand up at a podium like this and say, I'm Peter Hutt, chief counsel of FDA. FDA is the expert administrative agency chosen by the United States Congress to protect pregnant women and small children. Do you have any questions, Your Honor? So we got to get the agency back on track, and that can be done. Now, where the one place where I disagree with Michael, God help us, we don't need any new statutes. My report for the Science Board showed that in the last 20 years, during which time FDA had a basically flat budget that did not keep up with inflation, where the Center for Foods had a 15% reduction in personnel, there were more than 120 new statutes ordering FDA to do things. That's more than 6 a year. We don't need new statutes. They have more authority than they know what to do with. I've said 1,000 times, I've never once in my career seen a situation where FDA lacked the legal authority to do what was needed to do for any food, drug, cosmetic or medical device. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you.